Your Bible, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll read here in just a minute some very familiar verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, for several weeks now, many weeks, we've been studying separation. We've been looking at making sense of separation, and it's been a few weeks since we've been in this study on a Sunday night, and so we'll endeavor to get back into that study. We've been looking at the particulars of separation, and we're almost to the end of that. We've been endeavoring to finish that, and we'll try to do so probably in the next week or so. In fact, this week has marked the beginnings of several things. We started a brand new series in my Sunday school class this morning on Wednesday this coming week. You won't want to miss it. We'll begin a brand new study on Christ's message to the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation, and you won't want to miss it. It'll be a wonderful study. And then on Sunday nights, here in just a short stay, we'll be looking how that Jesus dealt with the law in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And so some wonderful topics, and I'm looking forward to those. But for now, we've been in these particulars of separation. We've looked specifically at several different things. We looked at alcohol and drugs and tobacco and some topics along the way. And tonight, and by the way, you realize there are far too many subjects that we could cover in services. We'd be here for a long, long time. And so we must find a place where we can finish, and we'll endeavor to do that with specifics tonight in this message. And I want to speak about one that I think has become very trendy in the last few decades. I think this is a topic that every parent and every grandparent would want their young people to hear a message about. I think it's a subject that is, in some ways, it's personal, but in other ways, it must be dealt with, and it certainly ought to be reiterated the closer that our Christianity gets to the world. And there's many who have questions and have been open to the subject, should a Christian get a tattoo? Is it appropriate? It's a real question that many face today. Now, you may say, preacher, I've settled it a long time ago in my heart and my mind. I hope that's the case. I'm wonderful and praise the Lord for that. But I'm going to preach about it regardless of what your decision was. And I want to remind us of some things I think will be a help to us. I don't know if this thing's going to work fully tonight, but we're in Roman numeral 4 or number 4 in your outline, which is tattered by tattoos. And I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're just going to read verse 19 and 20 right now for context. And these are verses you know. I'm not going to ask you to stand. We know these well. But I am going to do this. I'm going to pause 4 times in reading these two verses. And every time I pause, I want you to fill in the blank with the word. There are 3 specifics. Two times a word is reiterated. And so 4 times, as I pause, I want you to fill in the blank as we read it. You ready? You got that? Here we go. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your? For ye are bought with a... Therefore, glorify God in your and in your spirit, which are God's. I recently read a piece entitled, Tattoos Are for Life, Trends Are Not. That's a great title. And this writer was writing from a viewpoint to express that you need to be careful what you decide to do because it's going to be stuck with you the rest of your life. And I can appreciate that, and I think there's some wisdom in that. However, I would be quick to say, I don't think that's the only barometer to decide whether you should or should not get a tattoo. Now, let me just reiterate, and we'll say this many times tonight. I know there are people in this room under the sound of my voice who would say, preacher, I've been in this situation, and I made a decision a long time ago, and we will get to that. Please do not tune me out and say, well, this message is not for me. And if nothing else, it ought rally you to say, I do hope that you would at least encourage those who haven't made that decision, and certainly of the young people, that they would be wise as they think through that. And the writer said that only the stodgiest of people find a tattoo to be out of place. In other words, only if you're just out of date and you're an old fuddy-duddy do you find them to be out of date. And here was her reasoning, because after all, this is an art form that only gets better. Now the question of right or wrong for this particular matter, I think, can be answered with a few questions itself. These are not part of the outline, but just to think about some questions. If you are a child of God, number one, to whom do you belong? And the scripture answers that. Number two, if you're a child of God, do you endeavor and desire to be distinct in this world? And number three, if you're saved, do you really want to live for Christ or for yourself? And I think the answers to those three questions, and certainly there's many more, they will govern our attitudes concerning what is a Christian to do with their body. Here we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll look in 2 Corinthians in a moment. But the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he was encouraging them, look, you ought to keep your body pure. You ought to keep your body pure from sin. You ought to keep your body pure from the things of the world. You ought to keep your body pure so that you can serve God. By the way, it proves, as he would say in this passage of scripture, that your body is not your own. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that dispels the theory of the critics that want to say, well, God only looks at the heart and God doesn't care. Yes, God looks at the heart. Of course he does. But God sees the outside too. And those that want to say, well, it doesn't really matter how you live your life, it doesn't really matter what you do. After all, God only looks at the heart, and God judges the heart, and God only cares about the heart. Yes, God cares about the heart, but God also cares about the outside and the outward man. And the Bible has much to say about the outward man. And once you accepted Christ, the Holy Ghost of God takes up residence and lives inside of you. If you're saved tonight, you belong to God. Now, some people don't like that, because this first principle that we will look at goes against the natural man. It goes against what is part of our fleshly desire. It goes against the way that the flesh pulls us. And I want to give you three things tonight that I think will help us to have some concrete Bible evidence for these decisions. First of all, letter A is the principle of ownership. The principle of ownership. We want to do things our own way rather than being owned. By the way, that's all of us. That's the flesh. It's the natural tendency of the flesh to want to do things your way rather than to act as if you are already owned. And if you're saved, you belong to the Lord. No greater passage, perhaps, than here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, but certainly it's reiterated in other places. And for the rest of your life, you will constantly fight temptations to make your own choices. Concerning the subject matter of a tattoo, the difference between the saved and the lost is the lost person believes that his body is his own. Read about a lady who said, I'm turning 40 years old and I'm getting a tattoo to mark the occasion. She said, I'm going to put in several places on my body, I am 20 years old trapped in this body. I thought that ought to go over well when you're 80. I mean, the reasoning behind that. And then she said, it doesn't really matter what my parents think anymore. It doesn't really even matter what my husband thinks. I'm going to do my own thing because it's my body. Can I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, we're commanded to be different. And the Bible speaks to the fact that you belong to Christ. And you better realize that the body that you choose to mark up is not your own, but it belongs to God. There are many people that have made decisions while they were young, and perhaps they were foolish decisions. Some folks who made decisions while they were under an influence. Some folks made decisions while they were under peer pressure, and they look back years later only to regret the decisions that they made. A pastor friend who, when he was young, was in Vietnam War, and he said he got a tattoo while he was over there because of a girl. It wasn't worldly and it wasn't profane, but he said, I realize that on numerous levels it has consistently hindered my testimony for the Lord. And he said, I've made a concerted effort the rest of my life, as much as I know how to always wear long sleeves so that it's always covered. Now, I'm not saying that's what God wants you to do. I'm saying here's somebody who has understood the dynamics of a decision that he made many, many years prior while under an influence. Leviticus chapter 19, if you want to write it down, if you want to turn there, you can. Verse number 28 says, Leviticus 19, 28, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. That can't be any more clear than in Leviticus 19. And really, it summarizes the whole thing. And some folks will say, well, preacher, that was a passage that was given to the Old Testament Jews. That was a passage that was part of the Old Testament customs and the law. And it really doesn't apply to Christians in our day today. All right, well, can I tell you that 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is still in the Bible. And the Bible says in verse number 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We are his people, and that shows ownership that we belong to him. Romans chapter 14, verse number 8, whether we live therefore or whether we die, we are the Lord's. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Many years ago, when I was assistant pastor in Athens, Alabama, on a Saturday night, someone in our community chose to spray paint graffiti on the side of our church building. It was foul language and all sorts of other signs and different things. And my pastor and I found this out somewhere in the early Sunday morning hours. And we were out there along with some other men in the church painting the side of the building before the church service that morning. It wasn't long before they found out who it was. It was the same group of people who had done similar acts in other on other buildings there in the community and in the area. It wasn't long before they were caught, and the police showed up one day at our church, and they asked if we wanted to press charges. And I don't remember the whole conversation. I wasn't the pastor. I was just an assistant pastor. But I don't remember how the whole conversation went. But I remember my preacher being wise enough to say, well, if you will let me come and visit them, I just simply want the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And I'm all right with that. But then he said, I think there ought to be consequences for what they did regardless. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you, if you decide to show up tonight and graffiti the side of someone's house, it probably isn't going to fare well. Now, if you want to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and graffiti the side of your house, knock yourself out. Your neighbors may not like it, but it won't bother me. You choose to graffiti someone else's, and it will bother them. Why? Because it doesn't belong to you. Now, wait a minute. According to the Word of God, if you are saved, your body belongs to Christ, and it is not your property. It is the property of the God of heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that we must all appear, all, every one of us, we must all who are saved appear before the judgment seat of Christ that we may receive the things done in his body, whether they be good or bad. Do you realize you're going to stand before God one day? And you're going to answer for the things that you have done in your body, and you're going to look into the eyes of your Creator, and I wonder, are we going to be able to say, Lord, to the best of my ability, I've kept my body pure. By the way, that's a whole lot more than just a tattoo. You can never have an ink mark on your body anywhere and still have a body that is wicked and morally impure. And we will all stand before the Lord, and we will have to answer for how we lived our life and what we've done with the life and the body that God has given us. Do you realize if God wanted you to be marked up, he would have created you that way? Now, how many of you have, and you're not embarrassed to raise your hand, how many of you have a funny birthmark? Most of you are embarrassed to raise your hand, aren't you? It's all right. Some folks have different strange places, and that's all fine and well and good. And I've heard people make all kinds of cute quips about the fact that that's God's mark on you, and I don't have a problem with that. That's fine, and that's well and good. Do you realize if God wanted you marked up, he would have made you that way? He would have created you that way. And sometimes we get the idea that, well, I'm not as beautiful as I ought to be, and so therefore I want to change it, and I want to help God out a little bit. For a lot of young people, the decision to get a tattoo is often in the face of rebellion. You know, many vacation hotspots will make a year's living in just a few months' amount of time because of beachgoers and storefront places that are flooded with young people who are away from home. And they'll make all kinds of money, not to mention the fact that there are long-term repercussions. Now look, everything that happens before you get married, you carry into marriage with you. Excuse me now, no one wants to snuggle up into bed with someone who's got someone else's name tattooed on their body. Hello? I know you're tired for whatever reason, but whatever. The decisions you make now are going to go with you the rest of your life. And I'm saying to you that there's a principle found throughout the Word of God that applies to much separation, and most certainly this subject that we speak about tonight, and that is, if you're saved, you belong to God. Number one is the principle of ownership. Number two, the problem of partnership. Too many people want to be too close to the world. Too many people want to be like the world and with the world. And there is this conscious decision that, well, I think I can get close, but it won't affect me. Now, wait a minute. If we're saved, we should make a decision that I don't want to be like the world. I want to be as far from the world as I can. In fact, if I read the Scripture correctly, the Bible says that God commands me to be holy. God commands me to be distinct. God commands me to be unique. God commands me to be peculiar. God commands that I'm to be set apart. I'm to be apart from the sinful, wicked infiltration of the world. I'm to be apart from the worldly practices and that which is unclean. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I would reiterate, says, "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" None is the answer. Therefore, as a child of God, I am to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And God has commanded all through the Word of God, I am to make a conscious decision that as long as the world goes in whatever direction they are, I should follow Christ and not the world. And the choices that you make and the lifestyle that you live, I wonder if they point to our decision and our appearance, or do they point to being distinct from the world? Now look, you're not to partner with the world, but we are to purposely and specifically conform to the image of Christ. Here's what I found. It is not so much usually an issue of should I put ink in my arm. It's really an issue of whose methods and philosophies are you following. Where did it begin? Where did it even come from? Is it a godly practice or is it of the world? Does it have origin with the people of God, or did it originate as that which is against the things of God? And I just want to tell you that as much as you will study, you will always find that the practice of marking the body always goes back to a heathen and primitive root. You'll read about sailors who traveled the world abroad and they brought back the customs from other worlds. You'll read about savage tribes that marked up their bodies. By the way, incidentally, you'll read of body piercings having the same origin. They are twin cousins. And you'll find that that's the reason why in Leviticus chapter 19, that one verse covers cutting the body and marking the body all in the same context, because every time you will find that they have barbaric, sometimes even roots of witchcraft that have nothing to do with God. Now, I realize that people say, well, preacher, that was a long, long time ago. Nobody knows anything about that. And that's really not what people think about anymore. After all, you can go to Starbucks and right in the next booth next to them, you can get a tattoo while you're drinking your coffee. And that's the culture that we've come. In fact, there's a church in Ohio, there's a church in California, too, that I know of, I'm sure that there's more, that have a tattoo parlor in their church foyer. What is that all about? And it's amazing how that we have tried to take the trends of the world and we've tried to bring them in so that we can accept them in a spiritual environment. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the last time I checked, 1 John chapter 2 is still in the Bible. And the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world. And then he makes a list of them. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I can't abide by the world's philosophy. I'm to be governed by the Word of God. And God give us some Christians who will not just get sucked in with the things of culture, but will know enough about the Bible to stand true on some separation from the world. We're not just to go like the world. We're not to be involved in the practices of the world. We're to be different. But lots of people are too closely associated with the carnal people of the world. Lots of people are too closely associated with the carnal practices of the world. Did you know that the wrong peer pressure often tempts people to get involved in their first? Many people smoke their first cigarette because of peer pressure. Many people take their first drink because of peer pressure. Many people who look back on their youth and say, this is a decision I made. And by the way, this is not just a young person thing anymore. I can't tell you how many times I hear about ladies in their 30s and 40s and a girls' night out, and we're all going to go get a tattoo together. That is manipulative friends who are cheering you on to do wrong. Now, wait a minute. There was a day when God's people said, I'm not going that direction. In fact, while we're here, let me just remind you, if you are a parent and you let your children hang out on social media or hang out physically with people of that context, don't you be surprised if there is constant arguing and rebellion in your home. I am ever surprised when people will say to me, well, I spent the afternoon at so-and-so's house, or I spent the night over here, or a parent says, well, I dropped my kid off here for the weekend. I want to take him and shake him and say, what in the world do you think you're doing? Do you not understand that in that environment, that particular environment, and yea, even perhaps those people, they're going to draw your child further away from God? And I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here, the devil will confront you with a carnal friend, and you'll have to make a choice. In fact, let me say to every college student in this room, or those that are going to college and those who are in college, you're going to be in situations here in the next few weeks where mom and dad won't be around, and your college instructors won't always be around, and you're going to have a job with some friends that maybe don't think like you and don't act like you, and they don't come from the same kind of church as you do, and you'll be in a community where there's some people who are different than you, and I'm telling you, you're going to be faced with a choice. Either you will stand for what you know you believe in, and you will stand on the Word of God, or you'll cave in for those friends who pressure you. I'm calling on young people tonight and parents tonight who would say, let us stand and be called different. And if the world laughs and if the world mocks, let the world laugh and let the world mock. But I want to be counted in the number of Christ. And if it means I'm different than the world, laugh all you want to. But I'm willing to be counted more like Christ. And God give us that kind of courage. By the way, you look in the Bible, you'll find some great examples of that. Elijah was a man who stood against his peers that followed after Baal. And it took prayer for Elijah to do that. It took courage for Elijah to do that. And he didn't bow and he didn't give in and he was faithful. And I just don't know, but I wonder what the smile was like on Elijah's face when he watched God sweep in and wipe them all out. Now, I'm not saying that you ought to stand for that particular reason and hope that God comes in and wipes everybody out that you work with. Some of them may need it. But listen, I guarantee you, the God we serve doesn't need us to cut ourselves or mark ourselves so that we can get His attention. He already knows me and you. And he already cares for me and you. And would we be willing to go against the crowd and resist the unfruitful works of darkness and stand with the Word of God? I'm not to reflect the world. I'm to reflect Jesus. I don't care if everybody in Hollywood gets a tattoo of Peter Pan on their big toe. I'm not doing it. And some others ought to decide to do that too. Because some of you, if Kim Kardashian gets one, you will. Hello? Wait a minute. You're saying, well, no, preacher. No. What? Then why do you have the same one they have in the same place? And it's amazing that we say we're not like the world, but one of our problems is that we're too much partners with the world. Principle of ownership, the problem of partnership, letter C, is the power of stewardship. You have one life and one body to glorify God. That's it. God created you to please Him. We read a moment ago, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, and the Bible says that you've been bought with a price, by the way, the highest price of all, the blood of God's Son. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Yes, God is concerned about your body. Now hear me. God doesn't get any glory for your body being tattooed up. This may shock you, but God doesn't look down from heaven and say, huh, that's a cute butterfly. Wait a minute. Even if it's a cross, God doesn't look down from heaven and say, I sure am glad that they improved what I made. No, God says, I wonder why they're changing what I so perfectly made. I wonder why they have the feeling that they need to alter my beautiful creation and my design. And ladies and gentlemen, when we do that, we are elevating our bodies and we are drawing attention to ourselves. I know folks are going to argue that until they're blue in the face, and I don't care what category you put me in, but you mark it down. The reason a person gets a tattoo is so that they can draw attention to themselves. That's why they get it here. And here. And here. Hello? It's so somebody will see it. And we spend a long time there, but wait a minute. That's not drawing attention to God. That's drawing attention to me. And I want everybody to see me, and I want everybody to notice me. Can I ask you a question? How well are you stewarding what God gave you? How good of a job? By the way, I don't care if you've never had anybody write on your hand with a pen. Everybody has trouble stewarding what God gave them. That's all of us. Don't you feel tonight as if the preacher's beating you up? Every one of us are in that. And some of y'all need to help me on that. But the truth of the matter is, I am commanded to humble myself in the sight of God. And then God said, in due time, He will exalt me and lift me up. You know what that means? That means that there's no more changing my personality so that I can fit in. No more, are you ready? Altering the way that I look so that I'll feel accepted. Do you know that the key to acceptance is not changing who you are? The key to acceptance is accepting how God made you. That's the key to acceptance. And if you listen, this will help some of you. Culture is always going to fight that. And culture is always going to go against that. That's why they offer plastic surgery, so that they can fix the way that you look so that you'll be better. That's why they offer all the diet plans and diet pills so that you'll have the perfect waist size and you'll be perfect. That's why they offer the sprayed on makeup so that you'll always be perfect. That's why they offer all of these things so that you can build all the muscle and have the perfect physique. And the idea from culture is that you need to look perfect and you need to fit this image. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the image that I want to fit is the image that God gave me, and it's the image of Christ. And I want to know my acceptance and my worth is not in what the world sees, it's in what God sees. God give us some Christians who would stand on that. Now, there might be anything wrong with some of those things in themselves. Don't come to me tonight and show me your prescription pill bottle for your diet pills. I'm not interested in any of that. There might be anything wrong with some of those, but I will tell you this. The moment your motivation becomes you, then that's a problem. And if you're not careful, you'll get sucked into the me generation. By the way, think about the popularity of our magazines today. Glamour, Teen Magazine, People Magazine, Men's Health Magazine, the list goes on, Self. And they are all about making yourself look better. And watch now, are you ready? The idea is that if you'll purchase this product or buy this jewel, or get this tattoo, watch, it'll sneak up on you. Then you'll be complete. No, my friend, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 10 says, "And ye are complete in him who is divine power and who is the head of all principality." Hey, you're already accepted in Jesus Christ. You don't have to perfect your image so that Jesus will like you. Jesus already loves you, and he doesn't care about what you look like, and he's not concerned about you changing your body or changing your image. God's interested in you coming before him and humbling yourself to serve him. And the moment we get a hold of that, the much easier it is to not be conformed to the world, but to be more conformed to the image of Christ. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. I wonder, would God look at my body and your body and how we've used our bodies on this earth, and would he know that we've used it to be like him? Now, let me dispel a couple arguments quickly and we'll be done. On my clock, it's 6:59. It may be 6:59 for quite a while. Now, I've heard all the arguments. Well, preacher, I have John 3:16 tattooed on my arm, and it opens the doors for the gospel for me. And that might be true, but most of the time it opens the door for the wrong reason. And that's not the way that God intended that we're to give the gospel message. It may provoke some conversation, yes, but it will provoke it the wrong way. And by the way, if that's your argument, you can use that argument for anything. Alcohol. Well, I go to the bar and I drink because it opens doors of conversation. Homosexuality. Well, I'm involved in this lifestyle because it gives me open doors. Wait a minute. That's foolish reasoning. I read about a guy who had all of the Psalms tattooed on his chest. That's a big chest. Or that's awful small text, because there's a lot of verses in this. I'm not talking about Psalm 23. I'm talking about 1 through 150. Try reading that. I don't even know if I like that feeling. And the idea that, well, this is going to open doors for me to spread the gospel, that's foolish. Because the end never justifies the means. It never does. in any walk of life. And the truth is, I'm not to win the world by using the world. I'm to do the work of God, God's way. I'm to be separate from the world. And the best outreach is a separated, holy life. And you mark it down. The more people are distinct from the world, the more the world is going to be willing to want to be like them. Nobody wants a gospel that's just like what they already have. We're to be different. And so we're to choose to keep our body and our temple clean and pure for the Lord. Now, if you've made that decision in the past, do not let that influence you, and do not let that soften your position because of a decision that you've made. God still owns you. And that means that our decision concerning our bodies should be His decision, because I belong to Him. And am I willing to live a distinct Christian life? The fads and trends of the world will come and go, but you will never be complete in them. You will be complete in Christ and Christ alone. Period. There are some people who would say, well, preacher, what if I made that decision a long time ago before I was saved? Now listen carefully. Many, many people seated next to you tonight have made decisions that they regret. Listen, some of those decisions you can see, some of them you cannot. But are you ready? The grace of God is always greater than your mistakes. Thank God that whatever decisions that we made, they're in the past. And you're in a place now where you're growing in the Lord. You're being taught the Word of God. You are wiser. Whatever that decision-making process is, don't let that hinder you stand on the truth of the Word of God. You keep learning the Bible, keep striving in the Scripture, and keep responding as the Holy Ghost works in your heart. Trends will come and go, but the Word of God will always stand. And may God give us wisdom that we will discern wisely. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And I belong to the Lord. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this simple reminder. I pray that you would help us to be willing to be responsive. Lord, I pray that we would have a sensitive spirit to how you have laid things on our heart tonight. And may we respond accordingly. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.